BlakeRadio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
That's not my fault, I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not gonna lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, I got chilling for shizzle!
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and our friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com. Our phone number, as always, make sure you write it down so nobody gets it wrong, like somebody already did tonight, 267-297-1397. If you Skype, it's a cool program, you can Skype Sir Rockin'. During our 10 o'clock hour, if you live in the Northeast, the name Danny DeMonto, the cold-hearted plat, should ring bells for you as he ruled the Northeast working for Frank Goodman up there. He now works down here in Florida, so we'll have him on to talk about an event that's going on this weekend. We are scheduled to be joined by former WWE superstar and WCW superstar. May's going to say that about him. Fit Finlay will be joining us. We're trying to track him down through our phone networking. Spug is with us tonight. Mace, unfortunately, is on sabbatical. And we wish him the best with everything he's got going. Okay, he says, apparently I gave him the wrong number, which is ridiculous. So Mr. Finlay just emailed me, so he gave him the correct number. So hopefully we will have Fit Finlay in the next few moments.
Hooray!
Yeah, he is going to be a part of a big event, Crossfire Entertainment, Marcus Pistorius's promotion out of Nashville, hosts A New Beginning on Saturday, November the 5th. It is another benefit for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Every ticket that is sold, $2 from that ticket goes direct to Make-A-Wish Foundation. Fit Finlay will be taking on our guest from next week, which is the one and only Al Snow. So that will be a lot of fun. If you're here for Finlay, stick around.
He's coming.
Because he will be here. How long he's staying, we're not 100% sure. Everybody read our Facebook page, has been emailing me going like, dude, who do you got on the 18th? We want to know.
Wait, can I do it?
Oh, go right ahead. It's pretty cool stuff.
Oh, you didn't know?
Yeah, he's back. PG James will be here, and he's not coming alone. My jaw hit the floor when I found out that...
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation X proudly brings to you the greatest tag team in the world!
That's right, kids. The New Age Outlaws will be here at 9 o'clock Eastern on the 18th. So now to November 1st, we're all booked up at the inn. We may be sliding in some folks from Ring of Honor that we're working on. I'm not going to announce them yet because it's not 100% locked.
You could tease it, though.
I can say that it's a former ROH World Champion. I'll say that much.
You could say he's a lone wolf, in a sense?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, Jersey Girl apparently dropped her soda, which is pretty far out. Everybody, hopefully watched ROH TV this past week. Apparently we're going to be seeing a TV match in the future between wrestling's greatest tag team, the ROH, World Tag Team Champions, and the very deadly Briscoe Brothers. We actually had singles wrestling on this week. That was the Prodigy Mike Bennett with Brutal Bob defeating Jimmy Jacobs with King of Old School Steve Corino. And as when we talked to him, Jay Lethal had hinted, hey, by the way, I've got a really neat new belt. Well, that's how he got it. He defeated El Generico to become the ROH television champion. Once again, good looking matches, but I don't know, maybe it's my feed that I'm getting on the Sinclair Media channel here. It looks real grainy, and I'm not sure if it's the way that they film the show. I mean, have you seen either week's bug?
I have not, because I don't get Sinclair Media here. So I'm kind of effed on that.
Yeah, I know Ciroc, and unfortunately in Philadelphia, which was the home of ROH, he don't get it either. So he's sitting there kind of scratching his head going, huh? Yeah, it just looks really grainy, and I wish they would fix that.
I wish they would come back to Cleveland.
Oh, I'm sure it'll happen. I'm sure it'll happen.
They're not coming to Gray's Armory, which is where they used to do all their Cleveland shows. That was Gray's Armory, which is a fantastic venue to do a show. The Briscoes ripped up the floor in that place by power bombing somebody through a chair.
Remember last year we had some really neat interviews with a couple gentlemen. We had John Walters on, who wrestles, for other areas as RJ Brewer. Yep. We also had Marco Corleone, who you know in the United States is Mark Jindrak. And we kept going, Lucha Libre USA, that was a lot of fun. Where the hell did it go? Well, if you have MTV2 and you actually watch it, you found out this past Saturday at 10 a.m., they're back. Yeah, finally. It only took, God, it feels like forever, because Jay Lethal had told us, yeah, I did some stuff for them. And I was like, okay, when? It's like, a while ago. It's like, okay, cool. Even Rebby Sky said it when she was here. And I was like, they're coming back, right? Well, they're back. And there actually finally is a champion in Lucha Libre USA, and that would be Liz Mark Jr. He won a four-way elimination match that had Marco Corleone, that had Charlie Malice, and also had RJ Brewer. RJ Brewer actually had a new buddy show up. Everybody thought it was Supernova. No, it wasn't. It was the Canadian himself, Petey Williams. So, yeah, Petey Williams siding with RJ Brewer. We also had the first ever Minis Lumberjack Strap match.
Yes!
Nick Park defeating his ex-wife. Okay, I didn't know he had an ex-wife. Named Rosetta Park. Not a bad-looking lady. Relic and Sadistico team is Treachery defeated Rudissimo, which is Oriental and Tinieblas Jr. I believe both of the announcers from last season are gone and were replaced by, that's right, Kevin Kelly. So not only are you listening to Kevin Kelly do Ring of Honor, Kevin's doing Lucha Libre USA.
Are we talking about the same hermaphrodite Kevin Kelly?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. I have no idea.
You know, the one that used to be in WWE? Who Rock called a hermaphrodite?
Oh yeah,
it's that Kevin Kelly, right?
Yeah, it's him.
Yes.
Oh yeah, it's
I remember the rumor going around after Kevin Kelly left WWE was he quit because The Rock kept calling him a hermaphrodite and he actually was one and he was offended by it.
You're on payroll, dude. Enjoy that you're even being acknowledged on TV is how I kind of look at it.
Right.
Yeah. Do a little, we'll keep going here. As I said, we're waiting on Fit Finley. Marcus apparently, is getting him, hopefully. If not, hey, we'll reschedule. Welcome to live radio. This isn't a podcast. This isn't being recorded and edited later on. Impact Wrestling is Impact Wrestling is getting closer and closer to Bound for Glory, which is going to be in Rock's neighborhood of Philadelphia on October the 16th. Their fan fest is getting real interesting. Apparently, the Immortal One himself, Hulk Hogan, is going to be making probably one of his final appearances, if you believe the interwebs, at that event.
One can only hope.
I don't know, brother. So we'll see when we get to the tapings that were done in Knoxville. That'll be the next two episodes on Thursdays.
After Bound for Glory, right?
Yeah.
Bound for Glory is this Sunday, isn't it, or next week?
No, it's the Sunday after, so you've got a gap between WWE and TNA pay-per-views. If Sir Rock can point something out, if you go to the Impact Wrestling website, One Picture Talks gives his retirement announcement, and below it, it promotes his match that he has with Sting, which I believe is now a no disqualification match. That covers up a lot of holes there. Impact Wrestling this week saw a new number one contender be crowned.
I was having this conversation with an idiot in a wrestling chat room yesterday because I didn't have to work yesterday. Hooray for impromptu 4-day weekends.
Cool.
Rain in Northeast Ohio will do that to you. But, so we're... He's talking about, oh, it's all a work. Hogan's going to be back, and Bischoff's going to run the company. And I had to inform this dumbass that Bischoff's contract isn't with TNA. Bischoff's contract is with Spike TV.
Yeah, he's got a production deal with Spike.
Yeah, so he's not his deal isn't with TNA. So he could walk away anytime.
And why do it? He was already producing the reaction show, which as we saw went so well. I believe he's producing something opposite the Micro Championship Wrestling thing, or maybe that is it, because I know about a year ago, the Heartbreak Express, Florida-based tag team, The Travels, superstar Sean Davis did some stuff for them. And it was like, yeah, it's going to get aired eventually. I don't know if it's what's on True TV, but I'm not even acknowledging that thing's existence. But it's just funny that you're 2 weeks out on this pay-per-view. And yes, we'll recap Impact real quick here, but Hogan is doing media for this Micro Championship Wrestling thing. I believe he was on Good Morning America, might have been. I'm getting my morning shows mixed up.
He was on Rover's Morning Glory here in Cleveland last Thursday.
Yeah. And is not bringing up, oh, by the way, brother, I work for TNA Wrestling. Oh, by the way, brother, in 2 weeks, I'm putting my career on the line. He's too busy talking about the show on True TV. So that tells you how much Terry Bollea cares about the current company he works for. We have a new number one contender, which set up a match for Bound for Glory as Brian Kendrick is back in the number one contender seat. He will take on a double at the pay-per-view. He defeated Zema Ion, Alex Shelley, Kid Cash, and Jesse Sorensen in a number one contender ladder match, I believe it was. I don't know. Hernandez and Jesse Neal never happened because Mexican America, including the ladies, got in on a vicious beatdown. We now have the Queen, the Karen Jarrett match. I can't even call it that. Queen's Court, King Court, whatever the hell. Karen Jarrett's got her match at the pay-per-view. It's going to be your Knockouts champion, Winter, and I believe her first title defense, unless she wrestles in the Knoxville tapings, taking on Velvet Sky, taking on Mickie James, and taking on Madison Rayne. We had Samoa Joe and Crimson turn into a brawl, which led to Matt Morgan making a reappearance, which should be interesting to see, especially since he's had injuries. They're teasing Crimson is injured. I believe that is now a pay-per-view match as a triple threat, three-way dance. I don't know, because TNA doesn't list any other stuff. We had the Pope D'Angelo De Niro defeat Mr. Anderson after, stay with me kids, Devon's kids are at ringside. Devon comes out, yells at them. While everybody's looking over there, Bully Ray runs in and attacks Anderson. Coincidence? I don't know. Your Impact main event was Bobby Roode defeating the phenomenal AJ Styles. And AJ basically telling him, you're ready, brother. You're ready, brother. Well, I hate to spoil the party. It looks like in Knoxville, we may have one more match between these, this whole setup of Roode, because he hasn't wrestled somebody in Fortune yet. And that would be the Tennessee Cowboy himself, James Storm. And that would be a very awkward match for me to watch. Let's get to the big drama that's not in the room.
Wait,
and that is what?
Wasn't James Storm and Bobby Roode beer money?
They are still beer money.
And yet James Storm is in Fortune.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Fortune is Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, James Storm, Christopher Daniels, and Frankie Kazarian. Beer money group as
okay.
Well.
Okay, I thought Fortune.
New Age
never
Outlaws
mind.
Were in DX.
No. I'm getting Fortune confused with Immortal.
Ooh, don't do that because. Don't do that. Yes, Finley will hopefully be here. World Champ 1-2-3. Calm down, guys. Freaking out. So as we said on Twitter, which on Facebook Thursday night, which. People bothered again, is that Hulk Hogan announced that he is retiring from active competition and is going to do this whole big thing in Knoxville. We're spoiler-free here as much as we can be, but...
Unless something ginormous comes up.
Right. Well, as of this moment, the pay-per-view reads as this. You now have a Full Metal Mayhem match between the evil effing show Jerry Lynn... And the whole effin' show, Rob Van Dam. I don't know if the effin' is on the line in this match. After all, at one point, WCW had a match over the letter T, so who knows? You still have, they had that thing with Booker T and the guy that used to be Ahmed Johnson back in the day.
What was they Ahmed are, Johnson's name in WCW?
He was Big T or something like that. Tells you how much a lot of people paid attention to WCW. You've got World Tag Team Champions Mexican America taking on Ink Inc., Samoa Joe and Crimson and Matt Morgan in a triple threat match. Mr. Anderson and Bully Ray is rumored to be a Falls Count Anywhere match. That's not 100% locked. Already announced the X Division match, a Knockouts Championship match. You also got, yeah, it's Hulk Hogan wins. I believe Sting has to go. If Sting wins, Dixie Carter gets full power back, and this is now being billed a no DQ fight. Not a no DQ match, this is a no DQ fight.
Fight.
Which
awesome.
Of course makes me think of Royal Rumble 94, where everybody, including I think Vince McMahon, maybe tried to interfere in that match with Taker and Yokozuna. And of course your main event, which I sure as God hope is the main event. If you put Hogan and Sting on last, I will fly to Philadelphia and smack down some people. Your heavyweight champion, Kurt Angle, who has not competed anywhere since, wrestled James Storm. He may be competing at house shows, takes on Bobby Roode, who had a real nice video package done for them. I will give Dave Zahadi and Kevin Sullivan all the credit in the world, not the wrestler, the producer. They do some really nice video packages. A few years ago with the original Bound for Glory, they did one on Rhino when he went to take on Christian Cage. And they did a real nice video package leading into that pay-per-view. So they do real nice stuff. Problem is unless you watch Spike TV, you don't know these guys are even on the air, which sucks. Unless you're Spug's dad and you hear radio promo in the Carolinas.
There's that old Foggy promotion going on over there.
Well, my dad doesn't sound that old, my friend.
I know, but that's just the vision I'm getting is some folks in a retirement home are hearing Sting and Flair and Hogan are going to get it on at a pay-per-view, and they're like, what is one of their legend Stings? No, it's TNA Wrestling. Oh, cool. Yeah, Tim Stein is apparently excited about that. Is that sarcasm I sense in your typing, Sir Rockin? I really hope so. Tim's more excited because the NHL is back on Thursday nights, and I wish we were going to do the hockey show, but I don't know my schedule, so it's like, old man, you're just digging a grave here, brother. And that is your setup. Apparently this Thursday, the Immortal One will announce his retirement from active competition. And I believe they already have announced another set of tapings. I think it's for Macon, Georgia. And I'm not even sure if it's right after Bound for Glory, because TNA's website doesn't want to load for me. Welcome to live radio once again. No, I'm not a podcast. I wish it was. Oh, Sorokin is giving me... Oh, well, good for him. I'm really happy Jeff Hardy finally went and did his 10 days. Good for you, brother. We're very happy. I hope he enjoys his 10 days in jail. Oh, apparently TNA is going to be going to Albany, New York in December. That's pretty cool stuff there. And apparently they're going to air Bound for Glory through a company called Screen Vision. They're going to be in over 100 movie theaters nationwide. You can go to ImpactWrestling.com to see all that stuff. Oh, the live taping of Impact Wrestling in Macon, Georgia is on October the 26th. So it looks like, unless they have some building booked in Philadelphia, it looks like you're going to get back to the Impact Zone. Probably that Tuesday. You can also actually see a Bound for Glory Chronicles set up. They got one with Mickie James, AJ Styles, Matt Morgan, and Bully Ray. So that is definitely interesting. We are waiting on Fit Finley to contact us. We are going to go ahead and take our first scheduled time out, and we're going to try to get him on the line. If not, we will come back and talk the no confidence votes that are going on in wrestling these days. Danny D'Amato is definitely going to be here at 10 o'clock Eastern. So welcome. If you've never been here before, welcome. Thank you for joining us. We're here every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, till about 11 o'clock Eastern. And we'll be right back.
He's from the country. He's from the city. You better step aside, you better run and hide when the dirt road and blacktop collide. Watch your money and your alcohol.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cigs. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me for dying. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel
Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. Yeah, I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, no, no.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute. What time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it?
All right. I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy.
Oh, no. That's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking...
I'm about to get plowed by fucking 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I got to light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Yeah, this is the Black Machismo for all you guys who out there thinking, who could this possibly be? Yes, the one and only, yeah, man, this is on top, and this is the OWW. Yeah, one more time, yeah, OWW, one more time. I'll see it again. It's the OWW, and this is the home of the Black Machismo. Ooh, yeah!
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Marcus Pistorius of Crossfire LLC is trying to get in touch with Mr. Finley. There was a communication issue, so apologize for that. I guess I get a vote of no confidence, huh?
I guess so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, depends how I look at it. Last night, fortunately, was my second wedding anniversary, so I decided to tape Monday Night Raw, as opposed to watch it live. Watched Hell in a Cell with everybody, and enjoyed the hilarity of some of the stuff here. Real fast recap: Sheamus defeated Christian, opened the pay-per-view. Blue Sin Cara defeated Black Sin Cara. Green, yellow, and purple and orange clover Sin Cara is probably coming soon. But as May said when he saw the masks, he's like, okay, we can keep Black Sin Cara around. I like that stuff. Your World Tag Team Champions Air Boom, who were not booked for the event, defeated U.S. Champions Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger. And one of the hardest hittings Hell in the Cells I've seen in a long time. Mark Henry retained his championship, defeating Randy Orton. In an impromptu match in a Continental Champion, Cody Rhodes and his Michael Cole cap were shouting about it. But he's in street clothes! He's da-da-da-da-da! Who cares? He wrestled John Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just annoying.
I'm listening to you do your recap. We'll discuss it afterward. Keep going.
Yeah. Everybody seemed to be happy about this one, which is, Beth Phoenix is once again your champion. Which is pretty cool. Defeated Kelly Kelly. Stay with me, because this is where the pay-per-view gets really fun. Raw
you need to learn
Cell
how to text message
on.
Type.
Yeah. Raw Hell in the Cell goes on. Match ends. Cage goes up. Miz and Truth come in. Beat the snot out of everybody. Triple H comes down, tries to get in the cage. Everybody comes down, try to get in the cage. Meanwhile, Miz and Truth are beating the snot out of people. New Orleans police show up. The two of them surrender. And oh, by the way, there was a frickin' match. Thanks, WWE, for burying the fact that Alberto Del Rio is once again your WWE champion. In an amazing maneuver, which was Ricardo Rodriguez knocks out the referee on the outside of the ring, gets the key, opens the door, Cena ends up on the outside, and then gets his butt locked out because Ricardo and ADR leave the keys in the cage.
You know, of all the people that we've talked to, you are the only one that I know that is legitimately upset about the ending of that pay-per-view.
Really? What gave that away?
No!
I just thought it was ridiculous. You buried the fact that you're champion.
Yeah, but it's part of a larger story. It's a cog in a larger wheel, my friend. It really is. I don't see the big deal with how they ended the show. There was... They couldn't have ended it on a different way. They couldn't.
Now, my own personal favorite was just that Miz and Truth, as soon as the door opened, they dropped and put the heck, we surrender! We surrender! It's just like they were just standing there going, beat him down, beat him down, beat him down. Yo, Ronnie, here come the po-po. Oh, crap, drop. Done. And they took their, it's amazing how social networking has taken over this industry. Because R-Truth and The Miz appeared on Monday Night Raw last night. Via YouTube. Which is, we posted on the Online World of Wrestling Radio Facebook page. Which if you're not a fan of it, you need to be. We've got we just passed 1,100. Which is pretty amazing. So overall assessment of this event, other than my obvious not liking ADR getting buried here, did you have a particular thing after listening to the recap that you went, yeah, that sucked, or I liked the way that was booked?
The ending of Beth Phoenix and Kelly Kelly was unneeded. You should have ended it on the submission. There was really no need to hit her over the head with a microphone and go the way they went with that.
I wouldn't know because I all of a sudden I turned around to get something and I was like, wait, what the hell happened there? And did you like the SmackDown Cell, the way it was booked?
It was good. The thing in the SmackDown Cell, I would never, ever, ever want to take those three bumps right in a row, the sides of the cage and then the steel post. I'm good on that.
He was just brutal. That was just, wow. I just kept sitting there going, this is great. The way this is booked.
Right.
I appreciated the fact that they made, because everybody kept going. We talked about it on the Triple Talk Wrestling Radio podcast that Jackie Feist and Mr. Prentice is involved in. And I said that this is, this is a feud ender. This isn't a feud hiccup. And I'm not alone, because apparently, former world class championship wrestling star and member of the WWE Hall of Fame, amazingly, never competed in the organization, but hey, claps to you, WWE, for acknowledging the Von Erichs. Kevin Von Erich, of all people, blasted Mark Henry, the Hell in a Cell, and other stuff. This came via our official forum, which is the OWW Genesis forum, which is also now the official forum of Wild Talk Radio Network. And Shockage, I believe, is in the room. This came from wrestling news source that Kevin Von Erich said, quote, the WWE supercard last night was bad. The cage used to be the blow-off to a big feud. Now they use it to set up the next TV taping. Sad. He also went on to say, this is a good one, Texas has produced some great talent. Mark Henry is not one of them. Damn, he is boring. Texas produced great talent like Shawn Michaels, although he was a real jerk as a human being. Undertaker is a true pro. Also said Wade Barrett is a guy who would have fit in great in the old territory days. He also got into it with Chris Jericho, of all people, saying, Chris Jericho was another guy I never saw anything in. He is a prima donna. Jericho replied, at least I wore boots in the ring. Von Erich replied, but you didn't wear a good attitude. I don't mean to come down on I Am Jericho, which is Chris's Twitter account, but he has an exaggerated opinion of his abilities. I might not have worn boots when I worked, but I also didn't get blonde highlights in my hair when I was in my 40s. Okay. Never expected Kevin Von Erich to chime off like that.
Kevin Von Erich needs to shut his mouth.
Last I remember, he was living out in Hawaii at the Heroes of World Class DVD that was put out a few years ago. Had him living out in Hawaii, that he had actually sold everything, the Atkinson family, which is the real last name of everybody, Von Erich, including Lacey.
Kevin's just bitter because he couldn't do anything with his wrestling career.
He did plenty. He just never left the state of Texas other than to go other places. That's a decision that was made by the Atkinson family. That's what they decided to do. If you watched Monday Night Raw last night, you heard that the Great Khali is injured. Well, there's reports going around that he is actually apparently done completely as an active wrestler in WWE. Supposedly the injury was inflicted by Mark Henry. Reports note that Khali's contract is expiring soon, and the feeling backstage is that he is not returning anytime soon, if ever. Rumors is that he'd like to go back to India and focus on an acting career while maintaining a relationship with WWE Studios. It's amazing to think he's been in the organization since 2006.
Right.
After being in the Adam Sandler reboot of The Longest Yard, where I believe, if I remember right, his real name is Dalip Singh.
Dalip Singh.
There you go. So, I'll miss him, but I don't have to see any more Punjabi prison matches and all that other craziness.
Right.
Yeah. Monday Night Raw itself, a super show once again. You knew in the way this match was going to happen because of the way the people were introduced. Randy Orton comes down to the ring, and already in the ring, Drew McIntyre. I think you kind of figure out who won this one. Mark Henry came out. Mark Henry attacks. Mark Henry turns into Cookie Monster again and announces, apparently at SmackDown tapings tonight, which will air Friday, The Big Show's coming back. So, yeah, there's probably a match for WWE Vengeance. 400-pound Mark Henry taking on 400-plus-pound Big Show. Oh, goody. And this could be interesting, depending on how it's done. But I don't see people knocking down doors for that one. Other matches that were on the show, well, one that was on the show but never happened, which would be Divas Champion Beth Phoenix and Natalya taking on Eve Torres and Kelly Kelly, because Kelly smacked somebody down. She smacked Beth Phoenix around like she owed her money or stole her boyfriend or, well, I don't know if she would steal CM Punk because he usually does it the other way around, but I digress. So yeah, Kelly Kelly all of a sudden turned into frickin' Hulk Hogan last night. Little late in the way they're doing this with her, that you've made her this Barbie doll figure, and now all of a sudden, because she lost her belt, Kelly Kelly's mad.
I don't think it has anything to do with losing her belt. I don't. I think it has to do that they're trying to set it up that she can be tough too. That's what it's going to end up being. That just because she's thin and pretty doesn't mean she can't be tough too.
I'm fine with it. No, it was just weird that it's like, all right, we're gonna have this great tag team match. Yeah, gone. What else is new? Also on the show, we had an interesting language barrier, which was Santino Marella and Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal being shown the door in less than 3 minutes by Santino, and at least WWE acknowledged that he was back from an injury. He was in a car accident a while back, and had, I believe, it was a shoulder issue. So good to see him back. Only one other match in this entire show, and that would be John Cena, Air Boom, Mason Ryan, Sheamus, and CM Punk defeating Alberto Del Rio, David Otunga, Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, and Christian. In all of this craziness, Sheamus pins Dolph Ziggler. Good match. Not worst, not greatest. But got the job done. Filled a lot of TV time that they decided not to use. But this whole 2 hours was, as you had said, for the greater good of forwarding this storyline along of, we've got to get some resolution of Triple H attacking two of his former talent roster members, if you're buying that Miz and Truth were terminated. If you get fired by your boss and then you do something, is your boss going to come and beat the crap out of you? I know I'm trying to equate real life world into the world of professional wrestling here, but hey. Mm-hmm. These things happen. So we go forward, which leads to the Johnny Ace, or apparently there's actually now a Twitter name of Johnny Laryngitis, so damn, I knew I should have copyrighted that bad boy a long time ago, but hey. Triple H decides he's going to have this vote of no confidence, the vote of confidence thing. Everybody comes out, including Jerry the King Lawler, which was pretty cool to see him show up. These are some of the bullet points that I was able to jot down. Triple H had said that he was given this job as COO. He didn't seek it out. He said Truth and Miz need to spend time for the crime. Says that the superstars work for the WWE Universe. And that's when Wade Barrett chimed in, saying that it was an unsafe work environment and Triple H is the cause of it. Triple H reminded everybody that, oh, by the way, a year or so ago, you were the one causing all the chaos and unsafe work environment with your Nexus friends. Brian Chioda spoke on behalf of the referees.
Mike.
It's Mike Chioda? I'm sorry. For some reason I have Brian. Probably because I'm thinking of Brian Hebner, and I don't know how that happened. So, yeah, Mike Chioda was there. Steve Armstrong is the referee in Armstrong. Can't remember. It's the one, he was one of the, he's a part of the Armstrong family. He was standing there too. Beth Phoenix spoke up and said that the Divas are fearful of accidents or on purpose attacks. Jerry Lawler claims that, everything is spiraling out of control, apparently.
But, he said it wasn't Triple H's fault.
Right. He said that someone apparently is
sabotaging Triple H and sabotaging the show.
Right. So, everybody, at least that was able to occupy a microphone, all gives a vote of no confidence. Including Jared Lawler, who hits the bricks. He's followed out of the ring by the referees, the Divas, and majority of the superstars. The announcing staff, minus Jim Ross leave. The camera crew puts their stuff down. And the audience is cheering, Triple H, Triple H, Triple H. Jim Ross, of all the people. Everybody's looking at him going like, JR's going to stay. JR's behind him. JR's putting his headset down, and even Jim Ross walks out on him.
The funny thing is when Jim Ross started to put his headset down, I'm like, he's going to go get in the ring. He's going to go get in the ring.
We're going to have a hug fest, or Jim Ross is the one that's behind it.
I was like, good on you, JR. And then he started walking up the ramp. I'm like, no, the ring's the other way. You have to go back.
Did it surprise anybody that Johnny Laurinaitis, executive vice president of talent relations, which I think is going to be on a t-shirt somewhere that nobody will buy. He walks out, he shakes his head at Triple H, and that's how it ended, at least for the live audience. Now, you found a video on YouTube I'm going to copy and paste for our chat room folks so they can check it out. If you're with us in the chat room, here you go. Take a peek at that.
It's on WWE.com.
Oh, is this the Zack Ryder incident?
Zack Ryder came back out.
Yeah, go ahead and explain to everybody what happened.
I haven't watched the video yet. All I know is that Zack Ryder came back out.
Yeah, shocker said it's Scott Armstrong. Sorry about that.
Zack Ryder came back out, had a little bit of conversation with Triple H from what I could see from the video, because I have to watch it with my hand, with my sound down. And then, for his troubles, Zack Ryder got pedigreed.
And at least he's, as we say, at least he's getting the TV time. CM Punk.
From what I was reading on a couple of dirt sheets, his merchandise is selling in the top 10.
Yeah.
The top 10.
Yeah, guess who's not number one anymore, kids? We'll talk about that in a second. Let me stay with this storyline that's going on right now. CM Punk on his Twitter account came out and said, I think a lot of people are missing the boat, fans and coworkers alike. Walking out is a pussy move. He said, there's a huge difference in what I did. I want change and I can't change crap. He used something else from my couch. I'm in the foxhole. I'm getting it done. I stayed to fight and I'm fighting for change. You
really?
Can protest violently or peacefully.
Hold on.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second. Ha ha, he got you, didn't he?
What?
We'll say, yeah, read what he wrote. We'll say that in a second. Let me finish what Punk said here. Walking out isn't a solution, at least not one that I've ever seen work. Hold them up, make them change, just don't walk out or lay down. Fight. This goes for fans as well. Bored? Don't like at John Cena? Want more at Zack Ryder? Show up and be heard. Don't be a pussy and just tweet about it. I want change. I'll stand and fight for it, even if I'm alone. Popular or unpopular, I could care less. Taking your voting and shove it. Actions speak louder than words, except mine. My words are pretty awesome. No thinking about that. Hopefully you'll get it.
Aha! Aha, yet Mr. CM Punk, who could not be bothered with John Cena, Sheamus, and Randy Orton and Kelly Kelly to walk out last night and even take part in the no confidence vote.
All right, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to step aside for a commercial break, and we'll be right back on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official eFed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning. Yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio. That really
moves. I said, my name is Finley, and I love to fight.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Our phone number, as always, is 267-297-1397. You can Skype Sir Rockin' and get on our call right now as we are joined by a true international star. He was a part of WCW, he was a part of WWE for years, and if you live anywhere in the Nashville area, even if you're in Knoxville, Memphis, Louisville, Paducah, Kentucky, yes, it's a real city, get your butt to the Nashville State Fairgrounds. This is on Saturday, November the 5th. It is another Crossfire Entertainment event. Crossfire Wrestling is hosting A New Beginning. As always with their events, every ticket is sold. $2 from your ticket price goes to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He is making his debut in Crossfire. He will take on former WWE star Al Snow. He is Finley. Thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for inviting me on here.
Yeah. We had last week Matt Taven from Northeast Wrestling on the program, and you were a part of the events this past weekend. How was the Northeast Wrestling experience for you? The promotion's been around for about, I believe, 15 years. How was the crowd for you that night?
It was good. I was surprised how good it was. You know, I've been around and seen a lot of bad wrestling. I've seen a lot of mediocre wrestling. But the guys were good, and they did a great job. It was a pleasant surprise. Really, really well done.
Are you finding, now that you're doing independent dates, a lot of talent that normally you would not see is coming up to you and saying, if you have a free moment, can I pick your brain? Can you watch my match? Are you getting folks that are doing that, or are they intimidated by the aura of the Finley character they've seen over the years?
I think they're, you know, in WWE and WCW, they would ask me when I was there, but I think guys are a little bit intimidated, and I don't know why. You know, I'm just one of the guys, and, you know, but the, you know, if you don't know someone, you don't know what they're really like. But, you know, I'm always there to give advice and help guys. You know, if the job was passed on to me, and I like to pass it on to someone else that's willing to learn. And, you know, I've got the, you know, the foresight to ask someone that knows a little bit more than them to, you know, improve their craft.
I would be afraid to come talk to you because I don't want to get hit in the head with that shillelagh.
Well, that's always a threat, of course.
You know, for someone who is just starting out on their journey to being in that ring, what kind of advice could you offer them as they progress through training and things like that?
Get rid of your girlfriend.
Oh, look out.
You either get rid of your girlfriend, or you have to have an amazing wife to back you up. And you know, and I'm really serious about this. It's, you have to have a special woman behind you to you know, come alongside you on the journey that you're going to take. Especially if it's going to be a long journey, and you know, some guys don't last that long. But you definitely need a good home life to do this job. You know, you need support. You need to be able to come home and, you know, relax and, you know, have someone to cry on their shoulder or listen to all your problems or just, you know, just whatever it is, but you need a good home life. You can't do it without a good home life. But as far as the in-ring work, I mean, you just got to reinvent yourself every time. You got to pick it up. You got to learn new things. You got to learn, most importantly, you really got to learn what not to do. But, you know, you just got to, you got to push yourself. You got to, if nobody's going to come and hand it to you, you got to go and grab it. Nobody's going to come and, you know, snap himself aside just to help you. So you need to, you know, you need to sort of be a little bit forceful in everything you do in this business.
According to your bio, before 1995, you wrestled internationally in Great Britain and Germany, Japan. If you could take fans back, what was it in your childhood or your teenage years that it made you suddenly wake up and go, I want to beat the crap out of people for a living. How do I do that?
Well, I'm a third generation wrestler, so I was around the wrestling business all my life. You know, my grandparents were in the business, my dad, you know, my sister, my aunts, my uncles. So it wasn't a one day thing that I want to be a wrestler. I was just brought up in it. I was around it all the time. You know, I've been, you know, being taught all my life on how to defend myself, how to wrestle. You know, when I was, you know, very, very young, it, you know, even before I was one, my dad would have me bridge and all sorts of things. So it really wasn't a choice. I was sort of led into it, so to speak. So it wasn't a choice to make. I was just thrown in there.
Now, as your father got you involved in wrestling, I've seen, you know, dozens of parents who are in the business of wrestling who get their children involved, be it, you know, during training time, before shows or whatnot, where they're in the ring running the ropes. And most of them are over the age of, you know, 15, 16. Do you think that helps in the long run to for those that actually get into the business that early time, or is that something that you should just wait and actually go to the school when you're of age?
I think the earlier you can start, the better. You know, the younger you learn this, you know, in my opinion, and my first match, I was 14 years old, and I think the younger you start it, or the younger you start learning it, you know, it's gonna you're going to have so much experience under your belt and so much natural ability just to be in there. And, you know, you could start it when you're 25 and 30s and all that. To me, that's a little bit late. You know, you've got to, you're heading for a short career and, you know, you've probably done football and all sorts of other sports and, you know, you get dinged up a little bit, but, you know, you got to have that muscle memory of wrestling and running the ropes and just the whole experience of psychology and the whole circle of whatever is got to do with this business, you know, but the younger the better, in my opinion.
So what you're saying is at 30, I should quit while I'm ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For fans that aren't aware...
If you start, someone starts at 30 years old or 25, and you get a kid that starts at 14, when it comes to me and they're the same age, both 25, the kid that started at 14 or 15 has got way, way more experience than the guy that just started last week, you know what I mean?
Right.
When you look back to 1995 and you made your WCW debut, would you like to go back and talk to that guy and go, yeah, by the way, this company's not going to exist in a few years. You may want to go elsewhere. Had you tried to get in with WWE before signing with WCW, or was it just WCW that was interested in you?
Well, no, I never. What happened was I was in Europe and WCW called me and asked me to come over, and I really didn't want to come, so, you know, initially I came for 4 months, and I went back to Europe again, and then the next year, 96, I came back again, so I really wasn't interested in working over this side of the world, because I was, you know, I was wrestling all over the world, you know, I've wrestled in more countries, I've been in more countries than the common cold has been now, so I was enjoying myself and living life like a professional wrestler that I was, and I didn't have my sights on the States at all, but when I came and, you know, went from WCW when it fell apart, but to go back in time and try to rectify it, that would be a good thing to do. Yeah, sure.
True or false? April 29th, 1996. You were in a parking lot brawl match that actually sent you to the hospital.
No, I think that was in 98 or 99. It was a hardcore match in Jackson, Mississippi, and I went through a table. I was against Brian Knobbs. I went through a formica top table, and it's almost severed my leg completely off. So that's what it was.
Okay, because one of the bios I had said that you were in a Belfast-like brawl with Steve Regal, and you were rushed after glass got in your eye.
No,
was that storyline? That must have been storyline then. Okay.
False.
At one point during your stay, there was so much craziness going on in that organization, and we had Scott Hudson on, the announcer for the company, to talk about the 10th anniversary of the unfortunate demise of that organization. As someone that was competing in the ring, and then towards the end of the company, you were involved a little bit in backstage stuff from what we've read. I'm not sure how true that was. Is everything we hear true, that there was just you were told something by someone, and then 5 minutes later, seven different people had come along and changed it? Was it really that chaotic in that organization?
I don't think so. No, it wasn't that bad. I think, you know, it's, a lot of stuff has been added to the story. You know, it wasn't that bad. No, but I think there was too many chiefs and not enough Indians. You know, I think that was the sort of scenario. But I didn't get involved in any of the politics of it. I was just there to, you know, enjoy my time in the ring, which, you know, it wasn't as enjoyable as I hoped it would be. You know, I'd come from Europe wrestling every single day, and come to WCW, and now you're doing, you know, 7 to 10 wrestling matches a month, which it was in my opinion, it was a disaster, and I had withdrawal symptoms, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't know the ins and outs of why it collapsed and why it failed, but in my opinion, it was just too many chiefs. You know, you need a leader for the vision, and that guy needs to be the boss, but it didn't seem to be going that way. You know, and that's just my view of looking at it from almost an outsider. You know?
Was your deal with them, and you were exclusive to WCW, or were you allowed to travel back overseas if you ever wanted to?
No, I was exclusive to them at that time.
Did you find that a hindrance to you? Were you still getting promoters overseas contacting you and maybe not even realizing, oh, by the way, you work for WCW?
Yeah, you know, they always wanted me to come back, you know, because I'd gone back once before, but once I'd signed that contract, you know, that was it. You know, I was stuck here, and you know, you just make the most of it. You know, you suck it up and you move on. You just try your best, and you know, that's what I did. And you know, when it was sold, I moved along with that portion of it that was sold to Vince McMahon and ended up there.
Have a non-wrestling related question from actually one of the Online World of Wrestling website forum leaders, a gentleman named Shockage who lives down under, wants to know, have you followed the Rugby World Cup at all? And if you have, how do you feel about the Ireland underdogs beating the Australian Wallabies? Does any of that mean anything?
It does, but I don't get time to watch it. And unfortunately, I love rugby. I played rugby for 7 years and you know, at school and stuff, but I don't get time to watch it. I actually helped coach a high school wrestling team here in Georgia. And I'm conditioning those kids at the minute, so I'm really busy and I don't get time. I've got three kids of my own, so I spend a lot of time, and none of it is in front of the television.
That, you know, that's got to be cool. I wrestled in high school, and you know, the best that we got was our coach was a national champion from Ohio State. But to have Fit Finley as your high school wrestling coach, that's got to be cool.
Well, it is, you know, and I'm giving them all the shillelagh, so let me go on the mat and like the living daylight for their opponents. So. The shortcut.
I can totally see other high school coaches going, he needs to put that thing down, man. And put Hornswoggle down too while you're at it.
That's it, yeah. It's hard to get Hornswoggle under the mat though, you know.
You had brought up that you transitioned over with the WCW folks, including John Laurinaitis. You were particular to the Divas and helping train them. Was that something that you were asked to do, or did you seek that out and go, you know what, I think I can help correct this?
No, it was just thrown on my lap, sort of thing, you know, and if you're given a job, you just go and do the best you can, you know, and I ended up enjoying it, and it was really, at first it was a little bit embarrassing because we were doing all these lingerie matches and stuff, and you know, a little bit something I'd never ever experienced in all my years of wrestling, you know, so I had to work with all these girls and all the different, you know, emotions, and but I ended up having, and still do have, a good repertoire with all the girls that I work with, and you know, they end up, you know, they trust me, I trusted them, and we work for the common goal, and you know, I work with a lot of good girls. Some of them learn quicker than others, just like the guys, you know, so. But, you know, it was just thrown on my lap, you know, and I think maybe at first they thought it was funny to give the girls to me, you know, so. But it turned out, in my opinion, being a good thing, you know, we worked hard together, all of us, and had some good success.
Jersey Girl and our, let me ask this one real quick, because we're interacting with our audience here, Spug. Jersey Girl wants to know in our chat room, who was the one diva that was new to WWE that took to everything really well? And, well, she asked it, so who was the biggest pain in the ass that you had to work with, that you ever just sat there and said, oh, God, why am I dealing with this girl?
Well, to be honest, you know, girls, you know, roughly once a month, girls get a little bit of an attitude. So they all, at one point or another, would get a little bit emotional one way or the other. And, but, you know, I understood them. I let them blow off smoke a little bit, and then we all settled down and wanted to start again. But I never really had problems with any of them. You know, they all worked hard for me. They've done what I asked them to do. And, yes, they questioned when I had suggestions, but, you know, I explained it, and we'd done things, and I taught them a lot of moves, and taught them hopefully how to be better wrestlers and to continue their careers wherever they may go, you know.
Fit Finley joining us here on All Our World of Wrestling Radio. Go right ahead, Spug.
Now, when you were working with the girls, and I have to give you a little bit of applause for helping bring back women's wrestling as we know it from, you know, Penny Banner and Mae Young and Moolah. But
sure.
watching it from what it was to what you help mold it into. As you were going along, did you have a sense of that's what you were doing, or was it just I'm doing my job and that's just, you know, that's just what I'm doing?
Well, no, I had a plan in my head. You know, I set a target, I set a goal, and all the girls knew the goal. I set them all down and said, here's what I think we should do. Here's where I think we should head. This is the direction I would like it to go in. And we all sort of agreed to it and worked hard at it. And every single one of them, you know, I think, hopefully, they all enjoyed it. Some of them, you know, wrestling can be really frustrating for the individual. So, I mean, but I had a goal in my head that where I wanted to take this. So that if it was put in my charge, then I, you know, I would have some input to where I could take it and how high it would go, where how good it would get, you know. And that's, you know, I just set myself a goal and, I'm trying to reach it.
I'd say you were fairly successful. You look at individuals like Kelly Kelly and a few others, and I think they did fine under your tutelage.
Yeah, I mean, they really did, you know. And it's all about trust, as I say. I keep bringing that back. It's, you know, they trust you, and you know, you have to. You got to be a good teacher. You got to be. Explaining why they're doing things, and you know, and it's not, you gotta find, I found out all their personalities, what made them tick, and just worked off that. You know, you can't teach everybody the same thing, you know. We all have different characters and they all have different personalities, so you teach them in that vein, you know who they are and what makes them tick, and that's how you teach people.
When you joined WWE, it was in a road agent producer role. What led to your return at the end of 2005, early 06 to active ring? Was it that WWE creative approached you, or did you say, you know what, I think I can give this a go and I want to get one more run out of this?
Well, I was sort of getting itchy feet again. I've sat on the sidelines and teaching for so long, and I'm watching from the sidelines, and I'm going like, ah, I've still got a bit left, and I can. So, you know, Vince and I sat down and came to an agreement and give it a go. You know, and, you know, of course, Vince wasn't sure that I could wrestle and be a producer at the same time, which, you know, so we'll give it a go, and it worked. And that was that simple as that. I just wanted to get back in the ring. I knew I could do it as well, and maybe better than most.
After being a part of WrestleMania 22's Money in the Bank ladder match that saw Ric Flair take probably the most hellacious bumps of his life, when they first approached you to say it is, okay, we're going to put you, Fit Finlay, guy who really doesn't do a lot of high spots, we're going to put you in a match where you're going to have to climb really high and maybe fall off a ladder. Was there any apprehension on your part when they pitched this idea to you?
No, it was quite exciting. I've never done it before. I mean, I've been in ladder matches and stuff, you know, but it was exciting, and it is the biggest stage of them all. So you know, you lay it all out there and go ahead and do it. You know, I really enjoyed it. It was good, but it's not a match you want to do every day. But, you know, it was a special event, and it was thrilling, and it was exciting, and you know, kind of, you know, as I say, the biggest stage of them all, and you're in front of them doing all that stuff there. So I was pleased to do it. It was good.
Now, I have a question that I ask everybody because I like story time. And I've certainly got enough of that tonight. But in all of your travels, you know, all over the world, what is the best rib that Fit Finlay has ever seen?
Best rib? Well, I sort of tend to rib people myself a little bit. And, I'll give you one, which is not a bad rib. It's a funny rib. And we were in Paris, and at the time of the some tennis championships or somewhere on over there. And Hornswoggle, you know, he can juggle. So I said, hey, we need to get the juggler in the ring tonight. Do you have any tennis balls? He said, I don't have any tennis balls. So he went to the production people and sent out for tennis balls in Paris, which they brought by 12 tennis balls. And as they're walking past me to give them the tennis balls, I went, come here, give me those tennis balls. How much were they? It was like $12 for 12 tennis balls. So I said, can you make me a receipt up and make the receipt for $350? So Hornswoggle was given 12 tennis balls and a receipt for $350. So we were in the ring, we paid the money, we'd be in the ring, and every night he'd throw the balls, and I'd take the balls and I'd throw them into the audience, and he would have the security go and get the balls back and bring back. And he didn't tell me how much it cost, of course. So I said, what's the deal with the balls? They're only tennis balls. They're throwing them out. They said, no, I want to keep these balls. Still wouldn't tell me. It went through the whole 10 to 12 day tour of him trying to get these balls, keep a look after these balls, these $350 balls. So at the end of the tour, Big Show got hot because he was charged so much for these balls, and Big Show was going to go and, chew everybody out for, so I had to pull him aside and say, Joe, this is a labor, they didn't cost that, and I've got his money. And well, now everybody's in on it, and Hornswoggle hadn't a clue. So at the end of the tour, I bring out the $350 and put it on the table. And he's like, what's that? I said, that's the money for your tennis ball. So all that tour, he was trying to save those balls. There was people running all over the arenas looking for these tennis balls that he thought were really expensive. And so it was a funny rib. You had to be there. It was awesome.
I can just imagine him diving all over. Give me that. And he never talks on camera, so he's freaking kayfabe by suddenly walking up to him, somebody and going, give me the ball!
It was hilarious.
As an Irishman, when they put you together with Hornswoggle and did the whole leprechaun gimmick, were you the slightest bit offended by it, where you were like, oh, this is great?
I thought it was a good idea. I'd actually thought about it years ago when I was in WCW, but they sort of went, turned their nose up at it, and then Vince, said, what about a leprechaun? And I went, absolutely great idea. So, it worked. I think, he got over it. We've done a lot of stuff together, and, he was good. I enjoyed every time with him. It was fun, and he would listen to me and do what I wanted him to do, and it was good stuff. I loved him. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
When you were in WWE, and I want to bring this around to the event that you're going to be a part of on November the 5th, which benefits the Make-A-Wish Foundation, was it in anyone's contract in any way that they had to interact with charities at all? Because we always hear that John Cena is the most requested person in the history of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but was that ever put in by contracts? Because I know professional football players on Tuesdays, they go and do stuff with United Way and other charities. Was that ever said to you, or were you, how did you react when you were sought out to be a part of charities like Make-A-Wish?
Well, first of all, it's the right thing to do. I think we need to, look after those less fortunate than ourselves, but if you're under contract to a company and, they will ask you to do things, and I don't see how anybody could refuse to do something charitable, towards, children or whoever it may be, soldiers, whatever that is. It's the right thing to do. Especially soldiers and, veterans, they have done so much for us. It's, we give back, and then, those Make-A-Wish kids are like, it's heartbreaking sometimes. It's, it's very emotional to see those kids. And, if you can do a little bit for them, they're so overjoyed. It's an amazing thing. And I think, anybody given a chance needs to do something charitable for those folks.
We've had several folks on here that have, been a part of these events. In your career, have you ever wrestled in the Tennessee State Fairgrounds, the WCW, or any of your indie dates? Were you ever a part of that fairgrounds facility yet?
No, I don't believe I was. No, it is my first.
Yeah, because the history of this facility, and if fans ever get a chance, there's a new DVD out for a film called Memphis Heat, the history of Memphis wrestling. This building is real interesting and seeped with history. Is there over your career, and I'm sure you've wrestled in tons and tons of buildings, but is there like a top four or five that you could put on your bucket list and go, yeah, I wrestled there. If my career ended today, I can say I wrestled here.
Well, you know, not really. You know, I'm just my 37th year in the business. I've wrestled all over the world, you know, and everyone can be a special one for you, but, you know, my first match was a real special one. It was in a tent, in Northern Ireland, a little town called Glen. When I say a little town, there's about 12 houses in it, and it was a rugby club, and I was 14 year old and thrown in there at the deep end, and someone didn't show up. My dad made me wrestle, you know, so that was, you know, it wasn't big, it wasn't prestigious, but it's a special moment in time, you know, and then, you know, there's the WrestleManias, they're awesome. You know, I wrestled in Tokyo, I wrestled in Africa, you know, so there's so many arenas that a lot of them, it's like someone, you ask me, who's the best person you ever wrestled? What's your best match you ever had? That's a really, really hard question to answer because, you know, you leave so many people out and every single one is a special event to me. I take it every single one as a special day. You know, I go in there and I change personalities, you know, I get in and I become who I've been taught to be all my life.
Your opponent is our guest next week, and that would be Al Snow. Is this the first time you two have ever faced off, or have you, I'm trying to go through all the annals of your career. Is this a first time match for you guys, or have you faced off before?
No, Al Snow and I have never linked up at all. Never. I know Al. We've never stepped in the ring together.
Excited? Nervous? I mean, the guy walks to the ring with a head. You're not exactly going to have Hornswoggle with you, but that's got to be a little weird to go across from the ring and like, okay, guy's talking to a fake head. This is a little awkward.
Well, let's flip the coin here and let's think about Al getting in the ring holding a doll head and looking across the ring at me swinging a shillelagh. Now, yeah, am I going to be really nervous with the head or me swinging a shillelagh?
See? Again, I've talked to Al Snow multiple times. I'm not quite afraid of the head as I am of that wooden shillelagh. That thing's gotta hurt.
It will hurt. You know, and nothing personal against Al Snow, but here's the thing. When I get in the ring, I'm business. I'm all business. And Al Snow has never, ever been in the ring with anybody like me. Absolutely never in his career. I don't know. I don't care if he's been wrestling 100 years and wrestled everybody on the planet. He will never, ever be in the ring with anyone like me again. He has never been in the ring with anybody like me. I am something special. I've got more to give than anybody that he knows. I mean, he's going to find that out. And this will be what he can mark down as, I wrestled Fritz Finley. I don't know if he's going to survive it or not, but he will never, ever forget it in his life. Never.
I don't know how you top that.
I top it by unfortunately saying, if you can't get to this event, you need to find a way somehow to get friends to get you photos of this. As I said, it is called Crossfire Wrestling, A New Beginning. It is Saturday, November the 5th. Go to crossfirellc.vze.com. Thank you so much once again for being here with us. Stay with us after the break. The cold-hearted player, Danny DeMonto, will join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
That's fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint damage.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint can ducks and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, Shiniko's following to, members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LEB Rules, Chapter 7, Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the seventh moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage. Brett
Berry. Janice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Online Wrestling... Shit, I'm sorry. What is it? It's Online World of Wrestling Radio. All right. This is Jessica Havoc, and you're watching Online World of Wrestling Radio, and if you don't listen, Shit. All right, let me try this. This is going to be it, you guys. You ready? This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Online World Wrestling... Shit. Okay, I'm just going to try and slow it down for a second. Okay. This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Online World of Wrestling Radio. And if you don't listen to this, then you're a loser, and I'm going to kick you in the face.
Thanks to Fit Finley for joining us here. There's a lot of stars coming, kids. So tell your friends, tell their friends, and then smack somebody, because if you don't, Jessica Havoc will find you.
And kick you in the face.
Yes, and she will be back in November. We're working on trying to get all the members of the Midwest Militia here. We may even get Team WSU, so definitely check us on Twitter, check us on Facebook.
I wish I had a bigger setup at my place, because I could get all of the members of the Midwest Militia in my place.
Oh, God, as opposed to when I had Jay Lethal in-house, and Derek Jeter's going to first. Yes, we're live. This tells you how live we are. The Yankees are up 4-1. And our next guest, who is going to be a part of PWX's Halloween Hell, which is October the 8th at the Orlando National Guard Armory. He's also watching it. The cold-hearted plaid, Danny DeMonto, is here. I've been wanting this interview for a while. And so is he, apparently, because he was the one on Twitter that said to me, "When am I going to be on your damn show?" And I'm like, "How about this date?" He was like, "Cool."
I love it. I love it. What an intro.
He calmed down real quick when I was like, you could be on this date. And he's like, "All right, cool."
Yep.
Yeah,
you know,
this guy.
As the only non-Yankee fan here.
No, wait. Sir Rockin's a Phillies fan. Our technical producer is a Phillies fan.
Okay, like I said, I vehemently hold my flag in my hatred of the Yankees, and you know this, Alan.
Oh yeah.
I have to say, it's an MVP up here right now. No, Verlander's going to be the MVP.
Oh boy.
I mean, he does deserve it, but how often do you really see a pitcher win MVP?
Tell me, I dare anyone to defy this. The Tigers are nowhere near where they are.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I would totally give Verlander the MVP, but they're not going to.
It's the voting. Welcome to the way the voting is done with these kids.
Verlander deserves the Cy Young and the MVP.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, why not?
I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, for fans who don't know it, you are a lifelong New Yorker who now, like a lot of New Yorkers and New Jersey folks, like Jay Lethal, are now a resident of the Sunshine State. Do you regret the move down here yet, or are you digging for it?
Yeah. I'm over it already. I want to go back home.
What made you come down here? Was it business, pleasure, a bit of both?
It was more of less like I lived in New York my entire life. I mean, I lived in Jersey for a little bit too, but I lived in New York pretty much my entire life, and I just wanted a really big change. I had some bullshit back home that I was dealing with, and I was like, you know what? Instead of just being here around all this bullshit, why don't I just move 1,200 miles away to a place that I actually do enjoy going to, because I've been here multiple times on vacations and stuff like that. And I had some friends down here, so I moved in with them. And, I mean, it didn't take too long for me to adapt to the wrestling down here. I mean, there's a handful of good talent, but there's a lot of really bad wrestling down here compared to up north.
You know what they say about Jersey? They nicknamed it the Garden State, so Jersey paved it over.
We're going to get a lot of those kind of jokes here. As the guy from Ohio, he'll do this with everybody. So,
I hate the East Coast with a passion. I really
do. Really?
Well, okay, I shouldn't say I hate everyone on the East Coast, but a couple of years ago, I dated a girl from New York. And
there comes the hostility.
We dated for probably close to a year and a half, 2 years, and towards the end, I realized why I didn't like New Yorkers. It wasn't because of their attitude or that "fuck you" meant hello in New Yorker.
that is correct.
It was more of this arrogance that anything that New York did was somehow better than anybody else, and I just hate that.
Well, we're that way. This show is better than anybody else's damn show, and I have no problem saying that. And I'm proud to say it. And I got a guy on the call. I got a guy that's been kicking ass for the last decade on this thing. I mean, have you noticed that when you moved here to Florida, that a lot of people maybe looking at you a little differently, going, "Oh crap, he's a New Yorker."
Oh yeah, and they all did. It was like instantaneously. It's like, one of my first shows down here, I mean, I met you, I think the first show I did for that ASW or whatever.
Yeah.
And, Aaron Epic's one of the first people I meet, and he knew my whole background, what I did, what I've done up there, and, I mean, I got put with him instantly, and, I mean, people were treating me like, "Oh, we know who you are, but we're not going to really talk about it," type situation.
See,
and it was weird because I was just trying to wrestle. I thought I was going to come down here and have to start all over, and I was totally fine with that.
Oh, because I wasn't going to let the people forget who the hell you are. As soon as I saw your name on the card, I was like, "Holy crap, that's Danny D'Amato, who's wrestled for PWX, he's wrestled for Jersey All-Pro, he's wrestled all over the place." And fans were walking up to me because they know who I am and going, "Who is this guy?" And I was like, "By the end of this match, you'll know who he is."
Huh. See,
that was
even
this later, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, as an Ohioan, when we go places other than in the Midwest, it's usually to escape the snow. So,
well, that was a big thing with it, too. I mean, I love the warm weather, but like now I'm over it already because I've been down here long enough. I take warm over cold any day.
I can't do it. Every day I kind of sit there and I go, "Yeah, it's really great." But now in our cable company over here, we get New York One News, and I see the temperature this morning, and I'm going, "Yeah, I'm not bitching about 70-something degrees down here."
Right. Yeah. I'm going to have to adapt to it, but eventually I'm going to be heading back up there.
Yeah, we've had folks on here that have worked the Northeast for many years. Jay Lethal's been on, Homicide's been on, Steve Carino's been on.
And I love that Jessica Havoc thing that you guys came back.
That's our
phenomenal.
Did that.
Yeah, she's special.
She's a trip, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a cool chick, but I mean, In that battle of WSU versus those guys, I have to be with Team WSU, you know?
Also, we're siding against the Midwest Militia. Interesting. You've been a part of the King and Queen of the Ring tournament that they've had up there and other stuff, so
yeah,
you're a good person to bring up in this type of thing.
I know Team WSU pretty well.
Do they need to expand out, do you think, from your experience? Because they've done some super shows with the NWS promotion, but they've never really...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think WSU could go on the road to any state and would still get the same crowd they get everywhere else. And, I mean, the company is really based around DVD sales and the quickwrestle.com sales and stuff like that. I mean, their storylines are so well done, and all the girls work really, really hard. Like, I'm a very big fan of the product. I mean, I'm obviously a close friend of Mick, who runs the shows, but I'm a very big fan of what he's done with it.
Do you feel, as I mentioned, you've wrestled for Jersey All-Pro, you've wrestled for Frank Goodman when he was running in New York. Do you find it different when you work those shows to what you've dealt with in the last couple of years? It's like you said, you've been wrestling down here in Florida. Is it like night and day with the promoters and the crowds?
Yes, yes. I mean, yes and no. Like, I used to wrestle for a company back home called NWF, and those are more like family-oriented shows. I mean, they were bigger crowds than down here, but, I mean, I've wrestled for Vintage and mostly every company down here, and it's mostly the same type of crowd down here. It's like they want to hate one person, and they want to cheer another person. And if you go out there and start doing all the little wrestling holds and strong style stuff like that, people aren't really going to care about that. And NWS was a lot like that. But there's no real company down here that has like that Jersey All-Pro, CZW, Ring of Honor style crowds at all that I've experienced at all.
As I mentioned, you wrestled for Frank Goodman before, and he's the promoter of this event that you're going to be a part of this Saturday. We've talked. I remember sitting with Carino at an event, and I was talking to him about the infamous Elk Lodge shows, and that he said the shows was, now I know he's exaggerating this, but he said he could have, the opening bell could have sounded, he could have gotten in his car in Queens Village, drove to Philadelphia, drove back, and it would just be intermission. Was that for all the ticket seller matches that Frank was putting on these shows, or was he overlooking his talent, and how did these shows come to be?
He had a lot of ticket sellers. He definitely had a lot of ticket sellers, but he also definitely overbooked his shows too. I mean, there was some shows that he had 16, 17 matches. I mean, he could start a show at 7 o'clock and end it at 2 a.m. and really have that many matches.
Good Lord. We brought
and
up
he had a side deal with everything. Like, he was one of the smartest people that ever ran up there because he had people paying for things. I mean, not only did he have ticket sellers, he had people that just paid. We call them pay to play because that's what they're basically doing. They're playing wrestler or they're playing manager, and he'll get like, you know, a manager to pay $1,000 to manage a guy that costs $500, and then he has $500 now play with to book another name. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't happen to be Vinny the Guido in there, would there?
Oh yeah, I mean, if Frank was still in New York when Vinny the Guido was around, he would definitely snatch him up in a second.
I'm
surprised my little incident with Vinny the Guido never made it to like a YouTube or anything like that.
The one with you?
Yeah, the WSU show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a WSU show, and Vinny the Guido used to pay to be on those shows, like as a manager. I think he used to manage Rick Capaldo. And we put together a WSU drinking contest. It was me and Alain Littlefeather against Vinny the Guido and Rick Cataldo. And Vinny the Guido, like, when we were drinking the beer, he slaps me in the face, like we planned that, obviously. But then I just decked him right in the face, and he got busted open. Alain then gave him a tomahawk, and then I double-stomped him off the top rope. Because at that time, I found out Vinny the Guido was paying a wrestling company in New York, which was Victory Pro Wrestling. He was paying them X amount of dollars per show to be on their shows, but one of his stipulations was he didn't want me to be on the shows, and they were paying me $100 a show, and that got taken out of my pocket.
And you thought wrestling in Ohio was crazy.
Yeah, the Northeast is no joke. I mean, I go home about once a month, and I wrestle for a company called ICW, ran by Jack Savage, and it's right next door to the old Elks Lodge. It's now the Queensboro Elks Lodge. And, I mean, I have such brutal, brutal, brutal matches up there, and then I come back to easy wrestling down here in Florida.
He's another one I've heard issues about Sabbath. I've heard him and Frank are always at it on message board, you know, the DOI message.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
what's the deal with him?
they've been married together for like 12 years. They have a love-hate relationship. But, I mean, Jack's just the type of he's very, very passionate about his product, and sometimes he gets ahead of himself, and then he gets himself in such a hole that he has to not really run the next show. And then he'll take like a 6-month period that he doesn't run shows, but he always comes back. But like sometimes he just loses so much money that he can't really bounce back. But it's because he's so passionate about who he puts on the shows, no matter if it's going to cover the budget or not. Like, he had a show 2 months ago. It was a tournament show for like his belt. I wrestled Sandy Callahan in the first round. In the second round, I wrestled The Amazing Red. And then the third round, I wrestled Dan Moff. And Dan Moff beat me. And that was one of the most brutal days of my entire life.
Yeah, that's three different styles, man. Wow. Good.
I have a question for Danny. And this is actually a legitimate, serious question. You know, all hating of New York and all that aside.
We'll shelve that for a minute. Good idea.
That's a fair ball.
That's a fair ball. That was stupid of the Tigers third baseman.
That was awesome. No outs, first and second.
Ask your question, Spug, before he gets distracted by the game again.
Come on, Spud, bud. Give me a question.
Well, I just started training a couple months ago. And been going through it, gotten myself in much better shape than I used to be. And I was just wondering if you had any advice that you could pass along.
Before you answer, I want to let everybody know that you trained at the legendary Doghouse. Am I right in this?
Yes.
Yeah, and tell everybody who runs the Doghouse.
At that time, it was like pretty much Homicide. This guy Lathan, who is, I wish he stuck with wrestling after the Doghouse shut down. He was 6'8", and he moved like he was like 6 foot, and he's a big dude, and he knew what he was doing in wrestling ring. But he stopped wrestling. But it was him. Homicide, Loki helped train people, and like the Hit Squad, which is Moff and Monster.
So good. He'd like some pointers if you would like to offer any to him.
Are you trying to do this as like, how old are you? Let's start that.
I will be 30 in April.
So are you looking at this as something like it's a lifelong dream? You want to get through training and have a match and see where it goes? Or are you trying to do this like, hey, I'm going to get to the WWE and live out my dream?
No. I have no delusions of grandeur. Okay. You can ask Alan and you can ask Rock. I've been pretty grounded in this.
Okay.
I would like to be able to travel around a little bit and make some new friends and enjoy myself and enjoy my time in the wrestling ring and perform for the fans. But, you know, I have no delusions that I will ever step foot in a WWE ring. You know, I'm getting ready to start my own business with a buddy of mine in a landscape business. So it's not like I'm going, oh, I'm going to be in the WWE in 5 years. I know better.
I mean, my best advice is make sure that you're in a regular gym outside of a wrestling gym. Get your cardio up. I mean, lift light. And just really stick to a good diet and just pay attention when you go to the wrestling school. But when you're training, really emphasize on learning psychology of how to put together a match more than I just want to learn some moves. And just keep asking about psychology if they're not even throwing it down your throat. But I mean, just go for the ride. I mean, either you're going to get good or you're going to suck. It's either going to go one direction or another.
I've been a lifelong wrestling fan since I was three. You know, now that I can appreciate and I will say this and out myself. For a good long while in my younger days, I played wrestler until I had a sit down conversation with somebody over the summer this past year and realized what an idiot I was for doing it.
Did you ever run into those folks up north? A lot of the backyarders that would show up.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of them too. I mean, I was a bully for a long period of time when it came to people like that because I was just really, really bitter towards those type of people because of, like, I used to get killed in my wrestling school because I was one of the only, like, just like white kids that was just going to keep coming back. I mean, I wasn't as athletic back then as I am now, and they just didn't get it sometimes, so I just got beat the fuck up until I got better. And then after that, I had to do all those ring crews to get on shows up and down those fire escapes till 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I had to drive ring trucks. I had to do all these extra things just to get on shows. And then, I mean, there's so many guys that, you know, will go up to a promoter and be like, hey, I'll give you $200, or hey, I'll sell you 20 tickets to be on your show, and then they get on the show. And they don't get through proper training. They don't put up any rings. They don't do any of those things.
See, I have no issue with putting up rings. I mean, that's part of paying our dues now. It's the stomping grounds for MCW is that, you know, every show that is either away
from... It's what you're supposed to do.
Right, right.
Yeah, even the FCW talent at their events, their kids take up, put the ring up, take it down. I was very surprised. I thought WWE would have their own group.
Even ASW. At ASW shows, they had all the young guys lifting apart that ring every single week and putting it into the room. I'll never touch the ring, but I'll appreciate every single person that did.
Wow.
Yeah, I in the line of work that I'm in, I do landscaping and lawn care for a living. And having started as a wheelbarrow bitch for mulch, and then, you know, being a weed eater bitch, now being a foreman, I can appreciate being the low man on the totem pole.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you're going to be, and you're starting very late, which is another handicap in your situation. I mean, I started wrestling when I was just turning 17. My body wasn't as beat up.
Part of the reason why I didn't start when I wanted to was
I'm just telling you that it's just going to be a little bit harder for you to adapt to things that the other starting guys will probably have to go through.
I understand the road ahead of me to get where I want to be is long and very rough, and I have no issue putting the work in.
Who are you training out there with?
A guy, you ever hear of a guy named Shasta?
No.
I think he works as Shasta McNasty sometimes.
He and AJ Styles used to run the training facility down at the NWA Wildside in Georgia.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, he knows his shit. So it's, yeah. I mean, it's legitimate, but
wow, it's a book! That's a book!
Oh my god, are you kidding me?
Yes!
God, that's Lord twice the playoffs. That's something that's happened. Make that 5-1, so we'll probably be seeing everybody tomorrow night from Yankee Stadium, which is pretty cool. Have you been to the new joint?
I have yet to be. Me and my ex-girlfriend was supposed to go one time, and she got sick, and we just never went again.
Yeah, we had Finley on a few minutes ago, and he, Spug kind of asked the question along what he asked here, and he said, don't be in a relationship. Do you find that to be true? Do you have relationship issues with folks that, or have you dated in the business and it's made that a little easier for you?
Dating in the business is a lot harder. But I mean, it's pretty much what happens to me. I mean, it's happened multiple times, but I've never really actually seen a relationship like that last.
Yeah, I want to ask this question with you. I know Spug's got to bounce in a couple minutes, but when we had Alicia on, who's a mutual friend of ours, we brought up with her the stereotype of the Jersey Shore and all that crap. And I want to get your take on it. Have you ever watched that show or interacted with any of that?
I love that show for all the wrong reasons. I mean, I'm a very large fan. Because, I mean, those are the type of people that are on there. I mean, if you go to the Jersey Shore, those are the people that you find. I mean, I enjoy watching those type of people interact with each other because I'm a very big people watcher. And the more douchebags they are, the more I'm entertained by them. What was her answer? I would love to know what my darling Alicia's answer was.
Yeah, she had said that she hates it, and she actually she's never run into them, but at her daytime job, which we're not going to reveal for the fans, she's had the Real Housewives of New Jersey show up, and she said it was very interesting to deal with. I was like,
what? Wait a second. She said she's never ran into the Jersey Shore cast?
That she wanted to talk about on the air.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah. I gotta ask this because as we're gonna slowly wrap up here. In your experience down here in Florida, how do you think Frank is done in shows? Because this is his.
I actually think Frank has improved drastically since he came to Florida. I mean, I only did his last show. He did, but I mean, there was, I think, 8-9 matches. It was like a 2.5-hour show, and it was over. And there were eight, nine good matches. There was one crappy Ticketello match, and the rest was all real deal matches. And the Ticketello match was so bad that it was entertaining because I was just laughing at it.
Now, this event, for fans that haven't seen it, is stacked. You've got Balls Mahoney versus Raven, Steve Corino versus Wardell Walker, Perry Saturn is going to make his return, New Jack's taking on Shooter Storm, Douglas Williams will be there, Francisco Chiasso and Bruce Santee, who are the PWX World Tag Team Champs, are going to take on the James Boys. The Dark City Fight Club, who are the NWA World Tag Team Champions, are going to take on the Heartbreak Express. There's a four-way extreme title match where the winner must pin all three of his opponents that involves Kirby Mack, John Skyler, Cedric Alexander, and Caleb Connolly. Your opponent is yet to be named, but...
Yeah, he always tries to keep this from me. Like, I mean, the last time he wouldn't tell me who I was wrestling, I showed up and I was wrestling Corey Chavis in the Park City Fight Club. So, and the match was awesome.
We got a walk. Bases loaded again. This is fun.
Yeah.
I went through this last year too, except hopefully I won't be on the air the night that they win the World Series.
That happened?
I hope not. Nick, no, last year they got eliminated in the playoffs, so once the Yankees get bounced, I don't acknowledge the existence of baseball. I focus on hockey and basketball and everything.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm not a hockey fan, but football and basketball, yeah.
Yeah, so let me make sure I get the everything out to the fans. It's this Saturday, Orlando National Guard Armory, 2809 South Fern Creek Avenue. That is in Orlando. Doors are at 6. Bell time is 7. Tickets are $25 for row 1, $20 for everywhere else. You can call 407-575-4435 for all the other info. Danny is a social networker. I believe it's at Danny DeMonto on Twitter. Is that your handle?
Yes. Easy.
There you go. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the game.
Yeah, you too.
All right, we'll talk again soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
We were going to wrap up early, and then this just came in. Do I want to read this, Rock? Is this like dun-da-da breaking news that's going to shatter everything?
Yep.
This comes from PWTorch.com, and it involves Hulk Hogan. They are reporting that Hulk Hogan has inked a brand new deal with TNA Wrestling. No details on the length of the contract, but it appears that the Immortal One will be sticking around. Makes the pay-per-view in a couple weeks a little bit, well, lame. But then again, he did make the mistake of doing some media and was saying that get ready, brothers, cause the red and yellow are gonna make a return at some point soon. It's, yeah. Yeah. Spug speaks for all of us right there. At this point, we're going to slowly wrap up our event. Thank you. If you're brand new to this show, where have you been? You miss a lot of stuff. You need to go to Click Wrestle. Danny had mentioned Click Wrestle, where you can find tons and tons of matches. We archive there. We also archive on iTunes. If you're watching the game right now, Mark Slareth of the NFL, who works for ESPN, that's his son pitching. Hopefully he lets up a lot more runs. So yeah, we archive at iTunes. We also archive off the wildtalkradio.com site. We archive in the OWW Genesis forum. Wednesday night on this very network, 9 p.m. Eastern, is Otaku Talk Live. I know I get that wrong every time, so go ahead and correct me. You're not going to correct me. That's cool.
What am I going to correct you over?
OTL, 9 p.m. Wednesdays. That's all. That's all you need to know.
Yes. All right. Is there a UFC this weekend?
Yes.
Or is it Fight
Yes.
Night Show?
Shut up. No. There's a UFC this weekend. Finally, Gray Maynard versus Frankie Edgar 3.
Weren't they both just injured?
This is the return fight. This is the rescheduled of the fight where they were supposed to fight and were injured.
Oh, okay. Jersey Girl wants me to mention something real fast at the Spontaneous Force One Arena in somewhere in Jersey. I think this involves Sammy Callahan, involves Adam Cole, AR Fox. You can find it on Facebook at NWA Force One. It's in Egg Harbor. Thank you. Recap for us, if you can, in a few words, the CB Radio experience from this past weekend.
My computer was crap till about 12:15. We went on the air at 12:24. 9 minutes, no show prep, went on the air for 2 hours. How about that one, folks? Check it out. CB Radio.
Awesome. This Sunday, there is no pay-per-view. The next pay-per-view for WWE or TNA is TNA's Bound for Glory. So Wrestle Talk Radio will be 10 o'clock Eastern. You need to get back here next Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, because at 9 o'clock, Spug's favorite person to have a disagreement with or a general conversation with will be here. The one and only Al Snow is going to be here at 9 o'clock.
Alan?
Yes?
This is where I can speak for Mace and say F you.
Thank you. If you live here in the Florida area, you've heard the name of Howard Brody. He's been on here before. He's former NWA president. He's going to be partnering up with former three-time NWA World Tag Team Champion Vito DiNucci to launch Ring Warriors, which is going to have its debut show, I believe, November 9th. We'll get all that information from Howard then. As I said, now on the 18th, we had a hole in our schedule. It's not anymore. Road Dog, Jesse James, the Badass Billy Gunn, Kip James, whatever you want to call them. Both members of the New Age Outlaws are going to be here on the 18th, the 25th. I've interviewed him before. I get to interview him again. He is an awesome person. The franchise Shane Douglas will be here. November 1st, she's going to be at Crossfire Entertainment on November the 5th. She's going to be making her return to WSU on November 19th. The one and only Becky Bayless is going to be here. There is rumors of a former ROH world champion making his return to this network soon. You need to follow me at My Name is Wojcik on Twitter. You can follow Spug at, I believe it's Kilted_Wiseman.
That would be correct.
And you can also follow at Wild Talk Radio. You can follow at OWW Genesis. Thanks to Shockage for stopping by tonight. He's the official forum leader there.
Sign up for that forum, forums.onlineworldofwrestling.com. They're the official forums of WTRN.
Yep, thanks to Sorokin, Spug. Thanks to the one and only Finley for being here. Thanks to Danny DeMano. Thanks to the Yankees for now up 7-1. Thanks to Tim Stein, Brad Dykens, Jason Jedrich, Marcus Pistorius of Crossfire Entertainment LLC.
One last quick plug, CanadianAllPro.com.
Oh, that's right, and they made some announcements, so definitely go check them out. I believe their first 3 or 4 shows are set.
3.
All right. And everybody that, you know, says, you know, we like the older show better. Well, too bad, because I've got the best guests in the business and you don't. I'm Alan Wojcik, and my show's better than yours, bitch. Have a good night.